Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Pay As You Gym is the new flexible way to access over 300 gyms in the UK with no commitment and no sign-up fees. We're offering you, listeners of the Football Ramble, a free pass worth up to £15 to access a gym near you. Just go to payasyougym.com/footballramble. Pay As You Gym is simple and easy to use. You only pay when you go. And as an extra benefit for you, you can take a friend along with you for your first visit, absolutely free. Go to payasyougym.com/footballramble.
Heroes and villains, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name is Marcus and Jim is here.
All right.
Pete's here.
Hello.
And Luke's here.
All right.
Oh my giddy aunt, have we got a show for you today. And we're going to start as we mean to go on. What was your favourite moment from the last day of the season, Jim?
I'm going to go straight in there, just obviously. it was Joe Hart's celebration. It was just so... Just a joy. It was great because Joe Hart's been such a good, you know, player for them. It's nice to trust an England goalkeeper again. It was just like, yeah, I'm happy for you there, pal. Generally, sort of, you know, I don't think it is a good thing City won the league. I would have preferred that United won it. Man United, obviously. I know, Pete, you get very tetchy about that, don't you? If someone says
yes,
United,
we'll come on to that. Because there are more than one United.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about, don't you? So, personally, it was just that outpouring of emotion from a player I actually like was, you know,
an excitable warmed
my heart a little bit.
Big,
it was an excitable era player, wasn't it?
Hammy forearms.
Yeah.
You forget how big his forearms are. He's like Popeye.
And
he's
also Premier League forearms.
He also seems someone who's also very focused and quite sensitive. So to see him actually lose it was quite endearing in a way, because he doesn't normally let the mask slip, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, because he stays so focused precisely so that can happen, and then it's just one big volcano of chaos at the end.
Yeah.
But you sent us a video of him celebrating in the changing rooms, didn't you?
Yeah, he very sort of diligently, everyone's dancing around saying Championes, Championes. He's at his locker, putting his stuff away, taking his gloves off, doing everything very sensibly. He shuts his locker, just locks it, and just gets right amongst
off.
It, giving it the big stats.
Bounces right into the mill.
It's good to see.
Peoples.
My favourite bit was probably Balotelli relentlessly punching a man who had a inflatable banana stuffed down his top.
What the
hell? He would not leave him alone.
I didn't even see that.
Did you not? There was an older gentleman. I'm not really sure his connection to the club. I couldn't. He could have even been the one of the last league winners.
I hope so.
But he just would not leave this poor bloke alone because he had taken the silly decision to stuff an inflatable banana down his top.
And I liked it when Balotelli from the camera shots of them winning it to about a few minutes later to them interviewing Balotelli, he had somehow managed to put all his earrings in, a jester's hat, an Italian flag over his shoulders, like it was the most natural thing in the world. Like it was a really quick Kylie Minogue's costume change.
I'll talk of inflatable bananas. A couple of mates of mine were at the FA Trophy final, which York City won. They beat Newport 2-0, and they said there was a very irritating man who had an inflatable banana down the front, who on his own kept singing, "Let's all do the na 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 na." But like no one joined in.
Dear, oh dear.
Did you see the Man United fans sort of chanting, and then they all look stage left all of a sudden because somebody shouted, "We haven't won."
Oh god!
Was that your favourite moment?
No, my favourite moment was a very historic moment. Actually, the first time a commentator has ever had a male commentator has had an actual baby live on air.
Right,
and that was Martin Tyler.
Yeah.
You will, what did he say? You will not see anything better than this ever again. Yeah, it was an outrageous statement, and it made me long for the days of Barry Davis.
It's so long for the Barry.
Who would have gone title?
My
Street Fighter. Title.
My worst bit was Yon Kabai pushing an 8-year-old into some hoardings.
Oh, dear. League went mad yesterday, didn't it?
It did really a little bit.
Can I say my favourite?
Yeah, of course you can.
Mackie's goal.
Oh, what a header.
Because I was in a pub with a lot of QPR fans, and it was great, because I wanted QPR to stay up. And when that happened, it was like, what... 10-man QPR are winning at the Etihad.
He was in mid-air when he headed it as well.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful run from, I think it was Traore. Mm. Great textbook header. Head it down.
Great first goal for them as well, though.
It was,
God, Lescott will be relieved today, to say the least.
Before we talk about that, we've got to give
out the points. He's warming up for the Euros.
We've got to give out the points. Jim's got the points.
Again.
Cheers. I like the Joe Hart.
It was funny, because had that goal that Mackie scored been sort of crucial, it would have meant, because Armand Traore is pretty much... single-handedly responsible for the Man United 8-2 win, and he would have cost City the title both times.
He was double-leggedly responsible.
Yeah, that's true.
It was Phil Jones's face deserves an honourable mention as well. I've never seen such a gormless-looking man. He just looked absolutely hollow.
I've never seen a zombie. He gurns so much. It's unbelievable.
Oh dear. I mean, QPR were fantastic. We have to say, and yeah, I think. I wanted them to hold City off as long as possible, as I'm sure a lot of people did, because to build the excitement. And it took 38 minutes before the breakthrough, and maybe the keeper could have done a bit better.
Well, he definitely could have done.
Could have done a better.
But he hurt his finger in the save before that, didn't he? Which I think maybe had made a contribution to the error.
But when it went 1-0, you thought, if they could have only just got in at half time.
And fair to say, one or two of the team were a little bit overly pumped up.
Yeah, maybe.
And then straight after the break. Lescott with a terrible error. Yeah. And Cissé, what a finish.
Yeah.
Under pressure. Like you say, it's been an incredible signing for them.
Yeah.
Sendings off and goals.
So five or six goals and two sendings off?
Yeah. In every game he's played for them, he's either scored or been sent off. Which I think is a Zlatan-esque record.
Yeah.
And then came the Joey Barton sending off. How did we see that?
For a man who constantly complains about pundits who have never played the game, like talking about him, the bad things he's done in the past, he does a good line in preventing himself from playing again.
He really, really went off on one on Shearer, didn't he? But weirdly, because he's angry at people criticising him for it, it's made him really unrepentant over all the things he's actually done. He seems to just not being... It's like he's not apologising. Like when he sort of, you know, shows contrition, it seems really hollow, because he always backs it up with some other criticism of someone else.
Or says, I'm just misunderstood or whatever.
Yeah. Let's look at the facts here. You know, his team is drawing 1-0. They need a result. They didn't know Bolton was
the team he's captain of.
The team he's captain of. They need a result to save their Premier League status. They've just scored against the run of play. You know, an unbelievable goal, which nobody could have seen happening. Okay, fair enough. Tevez has probably punched him in the back of the head or done something to antagonise him. You're the captain. It's all to play for. What on earth are you doing? Elbowing him in the face.
In an ideal world, Sky would have sent Jeff Shreves onto the pitch to try and get his immediate reaction. He'd have taken him down. It would have been wonderful.
He would have done
for that. For once, I'd have respected Shreves' bravery. I wouldn't have gone anywhere near him. He's a little whirlwind.
I think Shreves just oblivious. I think because he's probably one of those guys who's never had anybody start on him in his life, like that. And
I don't know. He used to be the state agent, so he probably has.
That makes so much sense.
But I didn't actually think the assistant referee could see it from where he was. He looked like to be, there was a crowd of people in the way, and I thought he guessed a bit there, but then it improved.
But Barton accepted the decision and left quietly.
That said, the post red card retaliation / retribution, you don't see that very often. Almost refreshing to sort of like, he just went, right, I'm off, fucking all right.
Well, he clearly tried to give Sergio Aguero a dead leg.
He did.
Which is like, that is a tactical move.
Like Terry.
Well, he said that one of his teammates said, take one of their players with you.
He was punning on the take. We've lost a head, so take one of their heads with him, etc. etc. That was the hilarious joke that he made.
He tried a little cheeky headbutt on Kompany. Then Balotelli had a go, and eventually.
Why on earth would you try and headbutt Vincent Kompany?
Well, I respect that. At least he's not just picking on small people. I like that he's going above his weight.
But you got a better chance of winning a fight with an Easter Island statue.
That's true. Yeah. But anyway, he was sent off, and everybody in the pub just thought. Well, I'm sure, and everyone around the country thought, brilliant, City will now steamroll them.
Yeah,
and they didn't.
No.
And suddenly, as we said earlier, Traore down the line and 2-1. And City didn't look like that.
How it ended, wasn't it?
That's how it ended.
I left early.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, wanted to beat the traffic.
2-1 came a moment where it changed everything. Yeah. Mark Hughes brought Bobby Zamora off.
Well, Cease had to come off because of the sending off, didn't he?
Did, yeah.
Which changed it. They didn't have an outlet
so
at all.
So Zamora left the field at 2-1.
Hmm.
And then...
His conscience is clear.
But then... but even then, City didn't look like scoring. There was Ketney made a couple of great saves and certainly made amends. But every ball in the air... QPR were heading away. Yeah. Every tackle, they were magnificent at the back. And then Dzeko comes up and scores, and you just thought, hang on a minute here.
It seems like it was getting to the point where it looked like reminiscent of the Barcelona-Chelsea game. Just thought, Barcelona was throwing the kitchen sink. Mm. It's not going to happen. And in the end, City had 44 shots in one game.
Two goals that they needed.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, because if it's just the one, it does kind of change it. You know, it can be a deflection and you're away. Mm. But they scored. They still needed another.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was a proper goal that they scored. Yes. It was their last goal as well. It wasn't just like a trickle over the
calm
line.
Calm head from Aguero. Yeah. It's been absolutely fantastic.
Lovely bit of play from Balotelli to kind of slide it, or not slide it, but
hold it up,
floor,
sort of thing.
Bizarre how, of all the people, Balotelli came on and he actually sort of gave them a bit of calm, you know, gave them a bit of focus. Yeah. He was sort of the funnel for
everything. He had that one pass early on which went awry, but other than that, he was excellent. He held the ball up very well for Aguero's goal, who's been superb for them throughout the season.
Mm. Somebody made the point, it's nice that a genuine hero scored a proper goal, as you say, Pete, to win the league. It wasn't an error. It wasn't a weird sort of offside.
No
or
dodgy penalty
exactly,
or a bad decision.
It was
a back heel from an ex-player.
He was fouled as well. He could have gone down for a penalty.
Yeah.
And Super Mario would have stepped up.
He would have done. Yeah. Well, that would have been...
Aguero was booked for a celebration as well. I'm sure you're all pleased to know. So you can tick that bit of admin off.
Cause that's it.
The referee administered the rules correctly in that situation.
I mean, any neutral would have smiled at those City celebrations, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
It was because, I mean, when City went 2-1 down, Manchester City, in case I'm thinking of Bradford, Mancini, it looked like he just ran on the pitch and just started going, F you, to all his players. He couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
He's absolutely fuming. And when they scored, on the pitch.
Yeah.
Get on there.
Yeah.
After the game, did you see he was interviewed and about it and he kept going, no, he's finished. We cannot win.
Yeah.
Still maintaining it.
Yeah. Did he not say in another interview, well, the reason why I kept saying that it was United's title was to take the pressure? Yes,
we know that.
We've got it.
And Ferguson started saying after his game, well, you know, it was a bit, you know, they had 5 minutes of injury time down the road. And I was thinking about going, hang on a minute, pal. you've had your lot.
But it was 5 minutes. It was the sending off took a while.
Well, Barton cost United the title by dicking about so long. There was more injury
potentially.
Time.
Potentially.
Oh, I don't know about costing them the title. I think the four all at home with Everton would have.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
It is the one, isn't it?
Where does Barton go next? That's the question.
Yeah.
I think he's going to the Hayward Gallery.
China will have him.
Yes.
Well, he's looking at a lengthy ban there, isn't he?
They said
about 9-10 games, I would think.
Well, it's four games.
No, it's four games
already.
Yeah,
it won't be that many.
I think it's ten at most, because there's
two red cards in there, which is how they're going to look at it. Mm. And I think, you know, if you get two red cards in a game, obviously there's a cumulative thing, so that probably makes the ban a bit longer. So
it will be longer than four games. It's probably about six or seven games.
Was it Mike Dean the ref?
Yeah,
I do love it when he sends someone off, when he just goes, What option have I got?
Yeah.
You know, I think he's great.
Because you see Sean Derry walk with him and he starts talking to Sean Derry and you see Sean Derry going, you're fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
And he has not produced the goods all season, Joey Barton, really.
No, he's been poor for him.
He had that wobbly period of form where the fans were on his back and he actually got dropped, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he came back and was okay again. And he's not been. He's been.
But in the grand scheme, he didn't have that sort of focal point like he did at Newcastle with
Nolan.
With Carroll, really.
Oh, sorry, when he was delivering.
He brought the best out of Carroll. So maybe Liverpool is his best bet.
Yeah,
replacement for Gerrard.
Liverpool fans will be well pleased with that if that happened. And it was nice to see that disgraced former Manchester City chief executive Gary Cook was at the game.
I reckon Gary Cook just sat there and just rubbed his hands together and went, my work here is done. Yeah. Got on the mic, you're welcome everyone. Yeah. You are welcome.
There's nothing to stop him coming back though, is there? Shepherd wasn't
there,
like
there is, there's
wilderness.
There's people in the way.
Yeah, lots of people that don't want to give him a job. That's the main thing. But we should extend our congratulations to City because
absolutely, they
spent a lot of money and all that sort of stuff, blah, blah, blah. But they're still egos to manage and stuff
like that. As a group of players, they were the best team, weren't they? They were really entertaining as well. You know, and there are likable players within there. You know, Joe Hart, Compley, as well.
Less
you
know, guy
Company's, I think, my favourite Premier League winning captain ever, I think, possibly.
Not JT.
I'm trying to think of my favourite. Well,
Company seems like a really likeable chap.
He does.
And he's knowledgeable, he's intelligent, he's above all respectful. Like, he's,
and a quality player.
The interview he did with, I think, Gary Lineker on Match of the Day, down the camera, which I never can get
to.
It's like a bit of Nightmare. Remember that old TV show where the king of evil would look up and go, somebody's watching me, and you'd go, put down the looking glass! It's like that.
But, I really do remember that.
He was sort of going... he's sort of saying, talking about the last league winning side for Manchester City and stuff, which is really nice to hear and stuff.
He seems to have taken interest in the history of the club and stuff like that. Still probably not your favourite interview of Vincent Kompany though, is it, Pete? Because did you see the interview I did with him for the FIFA series of video games?
No.
No, Lineker,
I've never heard of those games.
Okay, fair enough. Move on.
Yeah, edit that out. Manchester United, I mean, it was goal difference.
Yeah.
Goal difference.
First time for a wee while, yeah.
And you look at the 6-1.
Yeah, no,
6-1 at the Swamp.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? A team who scored 8 goals in a match lost the title on goal difference. It's been the best Premier League season I can remember.
Can you imagine how that...
It's been incredible.
How that science... I think he's a science teacher, is reacting.
Which one?
Oh, the guy from the fan zone.
Yeah.
Yes! Take it! Take it! 6-1 at the Swamp!
Embarrass him! Embarrass him!
Yeah!
Oh, that guy was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, oh, dear, oh, dear. But Neville, Gary Neville, who we'll come on to in a minute, did say, when it went to the same amount of points, and it was obvious that the goal difference was going to matter, he said, you know, Ferguson always says throughout the season, when you're beating teams, you've got to put them to the sword. Goal difference, goal difference, goal difference. He goes on about that. And you look at a couple of their games. I know you can analyse the whole season and say, well, City should have scored there, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the 2-0 at home against QPR, when they're down to 10 men in the first half, that should be 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And you know, if they were a bit closer, if they needed to beat Sunderland by, say, 4-0, they could have done that. I know, obviously, they're going to beat them 1-0 and whatnot, but the game would have been different.
Rooney hit the woodwork a couple of times.
Yeah,
in the game.
He looked incredible. He was absolutely on fire, like one-man title challenge.
He missed that sort of, I wouldn't call it a sitter, where he just needed to guide it into the bottom left-hand corner. He just sort of went,
Also, Ferguson was quite magnanimous, said that, you know, we extend our congratulations to City. You know,
he's going to do that.
We've got to manage the humble pie, basically, isn't it? From the whole sort of noisy neighbours sort of quotes and things like that. He's got to try and take the sting out of them being used against him by now being quite
but
humble.
I also think, in a perverse way, when you got to that age and you've done so much in the game, you know, in a weird way, he'd almost be relishing it. Right, we've got a challenge on now. Let's get back on
because
it.
Because last year, they did stroll to it. They did. There wasn't a sort of a really great contender, and they did seem to just sort of, you know... never almost get out of second gear, and they were kind of similar to that at times this season, and there was a genuine challenger that were better, frankly, and it's made the league so exciting.
But I suppose that kind of showed, I mean, a number of Manchester United fans, maybe that's, you know, they want the cake and eat it, but they've said, you know, we need to bring in a few bigger names and whatnot. If you look at that Manchester United side, that is a little bit more conservative than previous ones. But again, it's a fascinating thing to compare them both, because, you know, Manchester United have had injuries, you know, Cleverley and Fletcher and Vidic.
Vidic has been a huge loss for them.
Massive loss. But Manchester City have had disruption with Tevez and Balotelli.
Well, it's actually something that's happened
and
quite a
lot. Gary Cook as well. Seriously, though.
It's also something that's happened quite a lot around Europe, where you've had a team of individuals, a team of like superstars, against like a real grafting team who are great in some of their parts. So you've got City and United in this country. Yeah. Barcelona and Real Madrid in Spain.
I'm not sure if that's an exact comparison. I would say Dortmund and Bayern would have been a
bit better.
Well,
and also Juventus and Milan.
Yeah.
And Montpellier and PSG.
Yeah, I agree with this.
So the principles are very similar. There's a team that's a bunch of grafts. I'm not doing them any disservice. Obviously, they're a good team. Barcelona have got a team full of great individuals, but the collective is the most important.
Yeah.
Whereas you'd argue that Real Madrid are sort of drag themselves through games of individual performances a little bit more. It just seems to be an interesting trend happening.
Well, I think less
Europe.
So in this current Madrid team, because they've got a kind of consistency now that they've not had in a long time.
But they're record-breaking, aren't they?
Yeah, indeed. Well,
but Barton was quite magnanimous on Twitter.
On Twitter, slagging, he went after Shearer.
Yeah,
didn't
he'll do that.
I did quite funny in amongst calling him
a bell. He called him, didn't he? Which I thought was brilliant.
Well, he said, "I really don't like that prick." In fact, I honestly despise him. He also, I quite like this. He said, "A selfish, boring man."
Yeah. He thinks of himself as like quite Oxfordian, doesn't he?
Yeah, but very much so. He was quoting the Smiths again, wasn't he? Whenever, afterwards.
Whenever he has to go off script and he's not just control C, control V-ing it all over the place, he kind of just goes, Bellend!
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the real Joey Martin.
Isn't he a fan of the insult melt as well? You're a melt. He says that quite
Dullards.
A lot.
Dullards. Is that one?
Yeah. He got into a row on Twitter with loads of cast members from The Only Way Is Essex this season. As well.
Just leave it, Joey.
Why bother? Just. Yeah. Leave it. Yeah.
Didn't he turn his ire onto Lineker as well at one point?
Yes, he did.
I think Lineker was like, Joey, come on, it's not that bad, is it?
Yeah, but he threatened to make public rumours about Lineker, didn't he? Yeah. Basically,
which I'm
sure we've all heard.
Which we all believe.
I for one don't know what any of you are talking about.
Well, moving on incredibly swiftly. So that was the top of the league, of course. The two Manchesters. QPR did survive because and QPR were superb. Let's you know, a lot of heroes on the pitch. Kenny was great and so on.
Because Bolton went down to a Nat Loftus goal, didn't they?
Nat Loftus. Yeah, well, now Coyle and the boys have got to be fuming because, you know, they needed to beat Stoke. And as you say, Walter's first goal for Stoke was Nat Lofthouse-esque.
It was ridiculous.
The keeper had the ball
really
in both hands and
really
he bundled him in.
Like, we've mentioned this before, and, you know, obviously Stoke do have a reputation as being very physical, very direct and in your face, but it seems like the referees take that on board as well. Go, it's Stoke, they play quite hard, this is their game.
Well, and
you give them
happen.
Certain leeway. No, exactly, it shouldn't
I've
happen.
Not
That's
seen a goal scored like that in my lifetime. Certainly in the
No, it's a real old like 50s goal, wasn't it?
Wrestled him in.
Yeah.
It's like a sumo wrestling goal.
It shouldn't have counted. It's as simple as that.
Where I get all my news is actually the Seattle Times, and on their website, it said Bolton relegated, Del Piero and Inzaghi score. Was everyone that distracted that mental shit was happening in the Bolton match?
Yeah.
They could get away with
down.
Fielding Inzaghi.
There was a photo of some Bolton fans at the match with a banner saying, "We will be back."
Yeah. They prepared faith, that. Well, let's prepare that in advance just in case.
We don't want to look stupid going, we've stayed up.
Yeah. It's strange. It's almost like an odd sort of poetic justice to it in a way for sort of athletes in that Stoke have just become Bolton times a million and basically just like punched them out of the league own style.
This league ain't big enough for the both of us.
Exactly.
You're gonna have to go.
Yeah. Well, Bolton's equaliser was a very fortuitous own goal.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I thought
both of Bolton's goals were just, you know,
freaks. Yeah,
utter freaks. Yeah.
I feel sad for their manager.
We don't like to see anybody very good. We've said it before.
Right. But it's interesting that the three promoted teams stayed up though. That's not happened for a while.
If I was a Bolton fan, I'd be looking at the game before, really. 2-0 up against West Brom.
Well, that was wasn't it? Because a point would have been enough, would it not? Or would it have been enough? No, I don't think it would have been.
No.
It would have changed the dynamic, certainly, of the day, and it would have given them a bit more confidence, and they could have played in a different manner. You know, you keep it tight in their last 20, go for it. Or you know, you'd have more options, certainly. But Stoke's second goal, was it a penalty?
That looked dubious to me as well.
It didn't go their way, did it? And that's really, really cost them. So Bolton join Wolves and Blackburn Rovers in the Championship next season. And then the action didn't finish there because we had the third spot race.
Yes,
which Arsenal won, Jim.
Yeah, they did. I watched that game on the internet, and it was. A difficult afternoon. It was very stressful.
Hodgson and Wenger certainly shared a very happy moment together at the start of the game, and I just felt that Hodgson's maybe thinking, don't worry, Redknapp will get his justs.
I was also
we'll give you a head start.
If I was a West Brom fan, I'd be concerned about having a goalkeeper that doesn't even seem to understand what being a goalkeeper is. It wasn't like he just made some errors. It was almost like, I don't think he really fully grasped what was happening.
The first Arsenal goal was just incredible. Danny Baker's thinking, I can make a video off this.
Yeah, the second one, he just punched it in his own net.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It was 2-2. Baker's probably thinking, come on, Roy, we need to... Don't worry.
And I think West Brom's first goal was offside, though.
It was by a
long, long way as well. Yeah. So for a moment, it felt like it was going to be one of those horrible days that traditionally happens to Spurs and not us. And
are you trying to say that Phillip did the decent thing, then?
Yeah, Phillip did do the decent thing,
That looked offside to me, bunch.
Thanks, Martin Phillip. Making your first start for West Brom seems a bit weird, but we're going to allow it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a bad job, really. They were 17th at one point, Arsenal. All right, after about four or five
games. Yeah,
but I mean,
it's an incredible turnaround. I really didn't think they would manage to do it.
Redknapp was absolutely cloying for like a PR spin. Couldn't have asked for more. Before the guy even asked him a question in the post-match press conference, can I stop you there? Couldn't have asked for more. Brilliant season.
Set maybe one more point.
Yeah.
I never thought about England.
Nah. 16
Harry,
points for your last 13 games, Harry.
We haven't asked you a question yet. Yeah.
I don't chairman deals with that. Deals with what?
The questions. Spurs, I mean, yeah, I mean, they beat Fulham, of course, 2-0. And they finished fourth, and you've got to say, finishing fourth, was it twice?
Yeah, I mean, any other season, this would be an incredible achievement, and it still is. I mean, you can't take it away from Tottenham.
And they came fifth last season.
Yeah, Spurs have been great this season. They've been great value.
They may yet still get in the Champions League. We don't know, do we? Down to Chelsea and Bayern.
They need Bayern Munich to do them a favour there. But when they go away to City, chasing the title.
Sorry, Bradford City.
Bradford City.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of it, isn't it? For me, it's, if you take it from the start of the season, Spurs finishing fourth, majority of Spurs fans would take that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But it's the position you get yourself in. Mm. As far as I'm concerned, if you get yourself in a position where you're going to play against City, and people, including yourself, Redknapp, are talking about the title.
Yeah, no, he started it to a certain extent. He shouldn't have, even entertained. He shouldn't have even mentioned it. Sort of saying this is an artificial position. We don't have in the tank. Second or third would be immense.
Yeah,
I don't know, but is that not going to have a sort of demotivating effect on your players, especially if you're trying to hang on to them?
Well, in an hour about England, is going to have a more of them.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, it will. Yeah, but I mean, if that sends a wrong message out to someone like Luka Modric, who's he's obviously desperate to keep. He's got a look at the team he has.
But what he says outside the dressing room is very different to what he can be saying inside. We're not privy to all of that information.
But all I'm saying is, don't say one thing at one and then come back and try and pull the wool over people's eyes and say that people couldn't have asked for more, because you've already, in a sense, dangled more in front of them.
Yeah,
so then say to your fans, "Oh, you couldn't have asked for more." And Redknapp always says stuff like, "Oh, I've never seen football so good. They've never had it so good." He says that all the time, and it's a bit insulting to the intelligence of the fans, I think.
Like he's selling them a used car.
Yeah, that was also in a crash once and was cut into another car.
Newcastle didn't make the top four.
No, but it was a disappointing final two performances, I think, it's fair to say. But, I mean, more importantly, I think Kabay might be in a bit of bother for pushing out. But he did
what
push
happened?
Him.
I didn't see
the
this.
Ball boy was a little bit slow to give him back the ball, and he just put out an arm. He's 8 years old. You don't do that.
No.
Now, probably one of the most disappointing things I've seen in a Newcastle shirt. To his credit, he went over at half-time and gave him a hug and stuff and apologised. But...
aggressive bear hug.
Was it more disappointing?
But that's apparently what Cahill got angry about at the end, at Tim the final Cahill. Whistle.
Was it one of your favourites, Tim Cahill?
Was it an apologetic hug or a sort of don't tell anyone about this hug?
where did he touch you?
Tim Cahill, Peter. You don't like the man.
No, but
he stood up for a little man.
But he stood up for an 8-year-old child, which is fair. To be fair, we haven't won, I don't think, in away on the final day of the season for like 20 years.
Europa League.
It's fantastic. Of course, that type is amazing. Amazing.
Do you think you'll be able to hang on to the important players in the squad and build on it? Because
Pardew's kind of basically said that everyone's for sale, basically, at the right price. They won't be going cheap because, they've signed some of the bigger players like Tiote and Colaccini and Krull to new deals.
That's what I was going to say,
If they go, they'll go pricey.
It's a shame because there's been a real sort of magic about Newcastle this season. There's been a real sort of... It seems to be a real gel within the squad.
I've enjoyed
watching
it. It'd
be great if they could just kind of keep as many of them together as possible and really try and push on.
A bit like Aston Villa.
It kind of is exactly how Villa were under O'Neill, though. Remember, they had a lot of forward momentum.
Yeah, they did.
But not so
What's
much
wrong
now.
With McLeish's Villa?
McLeish hates Birmingham, doesn't he? It's like he's got a problem with a city.
He's found his niche. Relegating Birmingham-based clubs.
Fucking Birmingham won.
When he whistles, he only whistles sort of in a descending manner.
When you said McLeish Birmingham, I really just thought Cameron's Britain. I don't know. Yeah. Why. It just sort of came to me there.
2 points above relegation is a great return.
It's actually less points than Birmingham had last season when they were relegated.
They were safe on the last day.
Yeah,
so that's what Aston Villa fans want.
At the beginning of the season, they'd have taken it.
I'm not sure.
Another goal from Holt.
Yeah, Grant Holt.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing is, at one point, Norwich were like actively taking the piss out of it during that game. If I was a Villa fan, I'd be. Well, obviously, McLeish is gone now, so I mean.
Who's going to replace him?
Well, it's talk of Benitez, isn't it? I don't know. I've got no insight into that, but that'd be great.
Who do you think I'm thinking? Svenigans.
Oh, come on.
Nearly Lincoln Svens at every job.
I mean, I should be his agent. Yeah. The way this is going.
Norwich have to be congratulated, though.
They do.
They were getting beaten by Scunthorpe 7-1 two seasons ago in League One or something.
Yeah,
that is outrageous, isn't it? Think about that.
Incredible, isn't it?
Something speaking of which, actually, on the Villa job, Lambert's been linked, hasn't he? In his post-match interview,
He said, I am off to Villa.
No, he said, the question was, is he going to be there next season? He said he wasn't sure. Mm. And there's talk of him being in talks with Villa already.
Outrageous. That's
disappointing. Will Delia step in on like a part-time basis?
I certainly hope so.
Do a couple of games. That'd be nice.
Yeah, they need a 12th man out there, so.
Indeed.
Well, there you have it, kids. That's the Premier League for another year. One of the best seasons I can certainly remember.
Mm. I'm going to stick my neck out and say it is actually the best Premier League season I've
Yeah, no,
been.
I think, I mean...
Quality not really up there for me.
Just because the defending was so bad.
Yeah, the entertainment value was incredible, wasn't it? And it's, you know, we always rip Sky for the whole best league in the world thing, but it has been the most entertaining league in Europe.
In England.
Season.
And possibly the certainly most racist at times.
Yeah. Oh, indeed. But now, we mentioned Gary Neville earlier. Well, in other Manchester-related news, he's been given the go-ahead to build a £20 million hotel near Old Trafford despite objections from the club.
Weird. Did not see this coming.
Yeah, the club have sort of said... Well, the club actually released a sort of presser saying and this isn't in keeping with the overall sort of vision for the club, and Gary Neville seems to have gone, well, I don't care.
Yeah. Our club spokesman said it was disappointed.
Weird, I like how he's used the money from his testimonial at the club has given him just a pitch, just to screw them all.
Is it going to be shaped like a big V sign? It's
just, yeah. So I thought testimonial money was meant to go to charity or something.
I thought weird.
Giggs gave his to charity, yeah. I think it's up to the player.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah, but didn't Gary Neville spunk a load of money on that eco house? So maybe he's short of cash.
20 million, though, for what looks like a construction that's at least as big as this one side of the stadium. I'm just thinking, that's not 20 million. I've seen more. Yeah. I've seen, you know, footbridges that are a million.
Yeah, in London.
In my book, Footbridges of the Northeast, which is our book of the week.
Yeah. It's not the only thing coming out of the Gary Neville camp at the moment, because he's been appointed as a coach in Hodgson's backroom staff at the Football Association.
I think that's quite a savvy appointment, you know, because it's someone quite, you know, he'll know some of the players in there. And maybe is he being dangled to get Scholes to definitely say yes?
Well, I think
one of your mates will be there. Be fine.
Not Scholes.
I think it's
a room for Debeck.
I think it's a clear indication that Scholes is definitely open to it.
Yeah, well, Scholes is... Well, there's, you know, rumours have come out today.
Well, by the time the show comes out, the squad will be announced. We'll talk about the squads and all that kind of stuff next week.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit confused as to why he's been brought in, to be quite frank.
Neville?
He's got his badges, yeah, but he's never coached. Well, which seems baffling.
Phil Neville's coached, hasn't he?
But yeah. I think Gary Neville...
You can ask him for games, can't he?
But I think Gary Neville is... He's a winner.
He's a great pundit, isn't he?
He's a great
pundit. But it doesn't make a great coach. And,
no. I think he's there because you do have people around the camp. It's not just the manager comes in and you got the assistant. You do have a backroom staff.
You need to remember that Roy Hodgson's a very hands-on, highly rated coach. So he'll be doing all the coaching. And Gary Neville's there just to act as a conduit between him and the players. He knows a lot of the players. He's a lot younger. I think he's also very good in the motivational side of it as well.
I would argue that he knows a lot of the wrong players. Age-wise,
well, but not necessarily. But also, that's a player perhaps that he's thinking that maybe the younger ones with less experience can look up to. Because
and you can't really
get
a 21-year-old coaching, can you? For these,
no exactly.
Players. No, but what I'm saying is that you're saying that he's, you know, he's friends with the players and stuff. And I don't think he is.
No, I'm not saying he's friends with the players. I'm saying that he's there for them to go to. But also, Neville is. I think he'd be a good motivator. In Beckham's book, a monitor of the other Manchester United players would say that he is that living Manchester United ethic of you're not complacent. You keep going.
Hard, yeah.
You've won that game. Next game.
Now
next
you try
game.
And win at hotels.
Yeah. Next game. Next
He's
game.
He's playing real life Monopoly.
There's no complacency there with Neville and with Manchester United. And flipping heck, England need that, you know. Mm. And if they have a figure like him around, I mean, Beckham said, and one or two of the other England players said, that when England beat Germany 5-1 in Germany, everyone's going mad, and Neville's going around going, yeah, it's a great result, we haven't qualified yet. Mm. Yeah. You know, when Manchester United won the FA Cup in 1999, he said, brilliant, we've got the Champions League to come, you know. And
who's booking with Gary? Not me.
he's a boring bastard.
You could argue he's a sports book.
He's thrown glass in my bed.
But England needs someone like that.
Is this a sign that perhaps the captaincy's not going to be quite as important under Hodgson's tenure?
Yeah, it's possible. Good shout.
Give it to the keeper.
I think it's a sensible appointment, and I'm pleased that he's going to be in there because he speaks a lot of sense. He's obviously not a dick. He obviously doesn't have an ego either. It's a sensible appointment. Mm. And he can conjure it between the players and Roy Hodgson, who's not got experience at a tournament with England, which is, and the scrutiny that comes along with that.
And given that Hodgson's got about 10 minutes to prepare,
it's all hands to the pump, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Right, let's move away from these shores and go to La Liga, where Real Madrid finished the season on 100 points.
That is loads.
It is, isn't it?
I didn't want to make a big deal out of it, did they?
No. Oh my goodness, what an elaborate celebration.
You do realise they're all holograms, right? The real players were in Dubai.
Yeah, that's it. It was all very Daft Punk, wasn't it?
It was a bit like Tron Legacy, wasn't it? Really, really full on.
And Mourinho running up that funny little thing. I was confused.
They've had that plan for years, haven't they? And they just haven't been able to use it. And they're like, yes!
They've been saving up the budget every year.
The voiceover guy was saying that, like, when they were introducing the backroom staff, but the voiceover guy was apparently going, obviously in Spanish, it was translated to the best goalkeeping coach in the world. And we're going, really? It's the best assistant manager in the world.
The best
water boy.
Exactly. It's getting ridiculous. And then Sergio Ramos came out, the best centre back in all this sort of stuff.
Best Val Kilmer looking
like.
They've obviously been.
Well done to Ramos for getting through it without getting sent off, though, I thought.
Did well there.
They've been fantastic this season, of course. Barcelona drew 2-2 with Real Betis.
It's over, rubbish, they're over, they're done. Let's never mention them again.
Well, they've still got the Copa del Rey final.
Yes, super tackle from Dani Alves.
Oh, he's sent off, wasn't he?
Yeah. Clumsy.
Silly gremlin. Like,
that Copa del Rey final's against Bilbao, isn't it? That'd be a good game.
It's sad news for Carlos Puyol and Spain. He'll miss the Euros. Mm. Massive loss.
Yeah. That is absolutely massive huge. Loss. Probably, you think that'd be Captain Caveman's last international tournament as well, so it's a real shame.
Oh, someone's squad just got prettier.
Yeah. The thing is, though, he has won the World Cup and the European Championship already, so
yeah, he's and done, the Champions League.
He's done okay.
Yeah, he will. And it gives England a better chance, isn't it?
Yeah.
As we maraud through their defence.
Yeah. A much better chance. Villarreal were relegated.
That's a shame.
Along with Sporting Gijón and Racing Santander. Villarreal starting the season in the Champions League.
Came fourth last season. It was a real, like, Football Manager-esque. You take over a new job on the Championship Manager, you get no points in your Champions League group and get the team relegated.
Well, if your best player's knees are going to keep exploding, it's going to happen, isn't
That's
it?
That's true.
The Segunda isn't decided until June the 2nd. June the 3rd, something like that.
Is that right?
Valladolid are in the driving seat along with Deportivo and Celta Vigo.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of Deportivo and Celta Vigo down there. Well, again, a few years ago.
Lotino, the guy who got Villarreal relegated, also relegated Deportivo last season.
Don't hire him.
Alex McLeish. But it's Villarreal B I feel sorry for, because they have to be a division below Villarreal.
Oh, yeah, they get automatically relegated.
Yeah, whatever happens.
Oh, yeah, that's such a harsh rule.
Yeah.
Villarreal, they're not traditionally a huge club. It seemed odd that they even have a B side. Sort of further down the league.
Yeah, that's right. Well, a bigger picture, Jim. Mm. Want to have them all in those divisions. Vallecano beat Granada 1-0 with a 90th minute winner, and they stayed up. As did Granada, actually.
Yeah.
Crowd were on the pitch, it was marvellous.
Mm. They were on the pitch for ages.
Yeah,
it was chaos, wasn't
there,
it? Though?
Get them on there. Granada, incredible, they stayed up, really. Real Zaragoza as
I'd love to be involved in a pitch invasion where both teams have got what they wanted. Mm. Because it happened with City and QPR as well.
Yeah. QPR didn't know that, though, when the third went in.
I'm sure that would have gone around pretty quickly.
Well, the players certainly didn't know.
QPR invaded the pitch last week. That was that was a bit of a bold shout.
Yeah, worth it though. Yeah, those fans will be glad.
Yeah,
exactly. Valencia finished third, 30 points. I think it was behind Barcelona in second. With Malaga getting the fourth Champions League spot, Ruud van Nistelrooy's hung up his formidable boots. Mm.
What a loss to the game.
Yeah, indeed.
Amazing goal scorer.
Yeah.
One of the very best.
Atletico Madrid ended a very good season in fifth. They beat Villarreal 1-0 away, which relegated them, of course, and pushed Levante down to sixth. But Levante beat Athletic Bilbao 3-0 on the last day and have qualified for the Europa League next season. So I was a bit worried for Levante. They might not get European football. So that's
delivered.
That's pretty good. Yeah. And Ghazal, I think that's how you pronounce his name, scored a lovely scissor volley.
It was good
over the keeper, the first of that one. And the celebration went on for about 2 minutes. It was on the 44th minute. But Athletic Bilbao, they've been great this season, very entertaining, and especially in the Europa League. But
some great individuals in that team.
But I mean, they finished, what was it, ninth?
10th,
not 10th.
Well, it's the Europa League took its toll, didn't it?
It did take its toll, and of course they were beaten 3-0 in the final by Falcao. Atleti, yeah, and Falcao. The night belonged to him.
Just absolutely phenomenal in that
game. The drag back for that one. It's like, he did him.
As Guardiola said in the past, I mean, he's the best penalty area striker. He's so good. He's faultless. He's absolutely ruthless.
I was really pleased for Falcao because, you know, there's been so much, of course, about Ronaldo and Messi.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, a player like Falcao has gone... He's been overshadowed by them, and of course he has. You know, when you get somebody who scores 72 goals and whatever it is in the season. So it was nice that...
77, including international goals, apparently.
Mm. So it's nice that he had his moment, you know, in Gigi Becali's Bucharest.
Platini said, you again, when he got his medal.
Is that right? twice in
quick succession. I thought the Simeone's Atletico Madrid were brilliant. They set themselves up superbly well, stifled Bilbao, really.
Oh, Bills will be furious. At himself, though, that's the thing, won't he?
Yeah. Someone made a great point. I forget who it was now about Bielsa. He's known as El Loco, as in the crazy one. He's so mad. He's known as El Loco, even though he wears his glasses on a string, which is the most sensible thing. But he's still known as El Loco.
It's probably a weird reason for it.
Yeah, probably. It's a real shame. I've got a real sense of, and I may be wrong, and I hope I am. I've got a real sense of that was the. I mean, they could still win the Copa del Rey, obviously, but that was the moment for them. Mm. I get a feeling a lot of their players are going to be picked off now, and that's going to be the end of that sort of team.
Well, yeah.
Did you see how devastated Muniain was?
No.
He basically, as soon as they scored the third, I think it was, he just burst into tears.
Oh, that's right.
In the middle of the pitch. He was genuinely gutted, you could tell. He really, really wanted it.
Yeah.
And obviously, his time will come. His future's ahead of him. But, I mean, it was sad to see. Because it wasn't one of those sort of like early Cristiano Ronaldo petulant sort of tantrums. Yeah. It was like a genuine, like, heartfelt, sort of gut-wrenching, sort of upset he felt.
I think the neutrals very much favoured Bilbao.
Yes.
Oh yeah, because they basically, well, Bielsa's teams influence Guardiola. I mean, you wouldn't have the Guardiola style of football without Bielsa. You know, Guardiola hugely rates Bielsa, and he sets his teams up with transition from defence to attack as quickly as possible. The movement of players like Llorente is absolutely superb. Yeah. But take nothing away from Atletico, they were brilliant.
Yeah, they were superb. We must move on to Serie A, where of course Juventus won the league, and they won
unbeaten.
They won their final league game of the season 3-1 against Atalanta and beat Milan's record of 42 matches unbeaten, and they haven't lost a league match all season.
Suspicious.
Really?
Yeah, take it off them. Smash that last bottle of champagne.
They'll understand if that happened. But you know, we were saying before the mics were turned on that if you look at that Milan side who got that record, star-studded lineup. This Juventus side, a bit more conservative with regards to big names.
They've been a team who've almost broken the shackles of the typical sort of Italian league sides. Mm. They've almost... Conte set them up to be a real team.
You know? That's right.
And a little like Roma were under Spalletti for a while.
Well, their top scorer is Matri, got 10 goals.
Yeah.
You know, you're right in what you say. There's no standout. I mean, Pirlo's been magnificent.
Oh, yeah.
Alessandro Matri's had a good season, but I mean, he's not made the Italian squad.
Cellini at the back.
Yeah, I think he's picked up an injury now.
I think he's going to miss the Coppa final, Italian final. Yeah. But he should be fine for the Euros, you'd hope, anyway.
But they've been ruthless, absolutely ruthless. Yeah. They've sort of, you know, they've destroyed teams at times.
Pete Del Piero got one.
I know, a beauty as well for your final one. Everyone was just crying in Syria. Yeah.
it was like a whole league sort of like shedding a generation. Yeah. So weird.
Like, it's like when the Eskimos like leave their grandparents out to die in the wilderness.
But they do
and
that.
They just move on. Yeah, I think that's what they do.
Seems unnecessarily harsh.
That's what they want.
But Del Piero's leaving of Juve is such a shame because I get the feeling he really wants to hang around.
What a beautiful way. You know, if you look at, you know, the history with it, he stayed there when they were relegated, and even when they were being threatened with getting relegated to Serie C, he still pledged that he would stay there, and he's been so loyal to them, and for him to score, to, you know, to maintain that unbeaten record in his last ever game for him, it's just a beautiful moment, a beautiful suspicious moment.
Did you see him trying to leave the field though? They wouldn't let him sit down and just enjoy that. He got brought off with half an hour to go, and they made him do a lap of mud
while the game was going on. Still,
ridiculous.
I think all that things you said, Jim, is absolutely right. I just think that means he deserves to be treated more fairly.
Where's he going to go? Especially now, the two obvious places, Blackburn or Bolton. Where will he go?
There's talk of England, isn't there? I don't know whether it's coming
from
him or...
He's played for Juventus in Serie B. He can play for Blackburn in the Championship. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah. That would be emotional bad way.
It makes me...
There would be tears.
It makes me glad that Pompey are out of that division. Because we would get destroyed, even by a 36-year-old Del Piero head rolling.
Well, there's a lot of older players from Milan that are available.
Actually, Schalke could do worse, couldn't they? carry on their sort of elder statesman little cameo.
My role's got Del Piero.
Yeah, indeed.
The Qatari club.
I think he might go to the US, Del Piero.
I'd hope so. Him and Henry up front, maybe?
Yeah.
For the Bulls.
Not bad.
Milan, they beat Novara 2-1. They're having a clear out this summer, it would appear. Nesta, Gattuso, Zambrotta, Inzaghi, Seedorf and Van Bommel.
They may as well just say, does anyone want to buy AC Milan?
Yeah. Does anyone want to buy the beating heart of this team? Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Seedorf. Yeah.
But wait, Zlatan's still there.
Yeah, well, how much longer?
But those players have been there. They've all been there, like, what, a decade longer?
Oh, my
goodness. Just, it feels that way.
Well,
at
Van Bommel's about 18
months. Yeah, true. And Nesta maybe not. A decade, but like
Nessa has 10 years. Yeah,
Nessa's been there for a long time. Nessa basically said in his press conference announced he was leaving. He's basically said, I'm not interested in the bench. I'm off.
Yeah, yeah.
He said it's too fast for me.
My gay crush is leaving as well, Gattuso.
It's a shame that
Gattuso started the match. I mean, bear in mind we thought he might not ever play again.
Rangers.
I asked them.
I don't think they could afford the plane tickets, to be honest.
Yeah, that's right.
I asked Italian expert James Horncastle about Gattuso, whether he'd go back to Rangers, because he always said he would.
Yeah,
and he said because of this eye injury he's had, he suddenly realised that there's things more important than football. And I think he wants to hang up his boots and maybe take a bit of time off and then go back to Milan in a different capacity. But they've got to be careful, Milan, because I know you say Zlatan and Rabinho and Cassano are all there. That's fine. But the beating heart of that team, Inzaghi, Nesta, Gattuso, Zambrotta's been there for ages.
Spine.
Seedorf, they're leaving.
It ushers in a new generation. It needed to happen sooner or later. It really did. So they're going to have a busy, busy summer ahead of them.
They've signed Ricardo Montolivo.
You're on a free. That is brilliant business.
That's a wonderful business.
I don't know if Montolivo is actually that good.
I think he's a decent player.
He's
you take him on a free, especially when you've got all them.
Oh, he did a big Sol Campbell at Fiorentina. I'm not signing another deal. It's what he said.
Oh, is that
right? And that's why I get him on a free. This was his last year there. But he's one of those players you sort of almost think of a...
Is he worried about getting smacked in the shots by the boss?
Yeah, he might be, yeah. He's one of those players who seems like he's always a good, promising prospect. But he's like 27 now.
Now's his chance.
Yeah, he needs to step up.
Is that a big club now? Udinese clinched third spot with a win over Catania. Antonio Di Natale, 34 years old, pacey.
Yeah.
A couple of times that game, he out, and his goal was the epitome of a deft touch.
That was a great finish. He really anticipated the defender sliding in and just dinks it over the top of him.
Yeah, glorious. He's got to start for Italy in the Euros. Yeah. I mean, he has been called up to the provisionals, but we will talk about that next week. So fantastic for Udinese finishing third. Lazio got fourth spot, beating Inter 3-1. Napoli fifth and Inter sixth.
Also, given that Udinese have lost a few players as well, we've done a great job. They lost Inler and one or two others, and they've still delivered. It's excellent, really.
Yeah.
Losing Sanchez to Barcelona at the start of the season was a huge blow.
Roma finished seventh, and Luis Enrique is off.
Yeah,
they've parted ways with him there. Vincenzo Montella and Andre Villas-Boas are favourites to replace him. Montella is currently in charge of Catania, and he says he's going to honour his contract there. But he did say recently in the press, Catania know my weakness for Roma, given my past first as a player and then a coach. Let's see if the interest is real first, then I will speak to the president to see what he can do.
He's off then.
Candid. Yeah, unnecessarily candid.
You better get that Roma job, mate, because they're not going to...
Well, Montella's done a good job at Catania.
He has.
Mid-table. Yeah. They were rubbish against Udinese, but otherwise they've been okay.
Whereas Lecce relegated on the last day, they lost... And Genoa, with all their problems the other week involving their supporters, they beat Palermo.
Didn't Gilardino score? Blast from the past.
And Navarra and Shazena were already
I hope
down.
Genoa demanded the shirts off the fans' backs.
They should have done, yeah. We stand up now, put them in.
It's a replica, I don't care.
Yeah. You're not fit to wear it as a fan.
That would be good. On to Germany, where Dortmund have done an impressive double over Bayern Munich. 5-2.
Yeah,
5-2 in the German Cup final.
The first goal was absolutely amazing.
That was a spanking, wasn't it? They just embarrassed them.
I think
Kagawa.
Apparently Alex Ferguson was in the crowd watching him.
Ferguson's signing all of the goal scorers, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's talk that Ferguson wants Lewandowski, Kagawa and Subotic as well. So for like 50 million.
Do it in one go. Yeah. Get out there. Beat us about some bargains in one go. It's like going out with the missus on the weekend. I want to get this done as quickly as possible. We'll go out there one trip, we're getting it. We're not looking around.
My dad did this recently to the point point where he bought a pair of shoes that turned out that they really hurt his feet because he only tried one of them on in the shop.
That's what Ferguson's done.
Yeah,
I've seen him. That's fine. Yeah. We have him.
You can just see him walking, all of them tucked under his arm, walking back.
What's in my PayPal account?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Brilliant.
Bayern's Daniel Pranich looks set to leave the club after a pretty unsuccessful stint in Munich, and a move to China seems to be just the ticket for him. I love this. I absolutely love this. You know, and Elk has gone there recently, and of course some players when they go to the Middle East, and basically for money, they try and not mention that.
But before you mention this,
yes,
this is to put it into perspective. Pranich had like a quiet season. He's
yeah,
not played
yeah, that's right.
But he's in the Croatia squad. He's in the international Croatia squad for the Euros.
Yeah, he's not done much at Bayern at all. And he's made it rather obvious he's willing to go to China. He said, and I could just imagine him trembling as he's saying this with excitement, "I got an offer from China that was truly impossible to refuse. The offer is startling in a financial sense. It is unbelievable. The money is really great. I have to talk with my family, primarily my beautiful wife, but honestly I'm on the
who's about to get more beautifuler.
But I'm gonna buy her some tea."
It's almost like he's going to say, "But if she says no, I'm still going."
Yeah, well, he says, "But honestly I'm on the verge of making the decision to sign for a Chinese club. I have pretty much decided because it is an offer that can't be refused. I believe I will sign the contract."
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That is refreshing.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. He just can't believe his luck. He can't believe how good it is.
Candid Pranich. Mm.
Good on him, I say.
But the Dortmund Munich, I mean, I think Jurgen Klopp's beaten Bayern Munich five times in a row now.
Bayern
don't look as invincible as they did. And
Spurs are worried.
I really think Chelsea will do them in the final.
Do you?
Even in their own stadium, I think Chelsea will win.
I don't know about that, but I think Dortmund have just got their number, basically.
And
Kagawa was great. Lewandowski took his hat-trick very well.
Brilliant.
Yeah. He's in great form. I mean, for Poland ahead of the Euros, that's incredible news, because you know, at home they need, they're not a great side, but you know, they need a good showing from their big players, and he's certainly one of those.
But do you think if Lewandowski leaves Dortmund, Lucas Barrios, who's gone to China, would be like, "Oh, what? You should have told me you were going. I'd stuck around." Because he's only got 27, Barrios.
Before we leave Europe, is Montpellier, they've got one, they only have to get a draw to win the league.
Yes,
is that the most disgusting shirt you've ever seen win a league?
Yeah. It's not won it yet.
Well, the chairman, is it? Nicolin.
Oh, Louis Nicolin, he's amazing. He's missed the Montpellier. And he's a massive fat bastard as well.
He's like the Bicali of France.
He's been
there for a while, hasn't he? Yeah.
And now it's time for Going for Gold.
Going for Gold. It is time for Going for Gold, and guess what? Don't have my clues with me, they're behind me.
Well, go and get them then.
From Clue Corner.
I've got my clue from Clue Corner. Right.
Careful.
Steady. Right, you ready for your first clue? Not many clues this time round, but you will know the player, certainly.
Stop. Is it Kenneth Anderson?
No. Somebody emailed Marcus a set of clues for Going for Glold.
Don't think he understands it.
He understands the whole thing. The whole point that, like, Marcus shouldn't know. Send me them. Seriously, send me them, because they're really hot. Now, first clue. I have one England B cap.
Stop. Chris Sutton.
No.
Damn, you were going Sutton as well.
Of course I was.
I once came second behind Craig Fleming for Player of the Season, lols.
Stop. Phil Stamp.
No.
Good guess.
Thanks.
I was a legendary footballer from the Norfolk team in the northeast of England.
Stop. Robert Fleck.
No.
Stop. Rule Fox.
No.
Stop. What? Jeremy Goss.
No. I was never match fit during my time under one Kevin Keegan, mainly because he got rid of the reserve team.
Go on.
The third clue was the killer for me.
Say the third clue again?
No.
Rob Lee.
No.
Say the third clue again, you might as well. I didn't hear it probably.
Okay.
He didn't say he didn't have England caps.
No, that's true.
I was a legendary footballer from the Norfolk team in the northeast of England.
That doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't really make any sense. That's why it's confusing me.
Well.
That's the cryptic clue.
Go again.
I was once signed by a club for $3.38 million to help stave off relegation. It didn't work.
Oh, no, he's got us, isn't he?
A cheeky northerner.
I was inexplicably signed by Leeds for £6 million.
Stop.
And
stop.
They wonder why.
Alan Smith?
No.
Michael Bridges?
No.
Ah!
Come on.
Was it signed by Leeds for 6 million? Mark Viduka?
No.
No, oh. England Leeds.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
Terrible guess.
Oh, we're so bad at this.
Go on.
I was a legendary footballer from the Norfolk team in the northeast of England.
Darren Huckabee.
Darren Huckabee.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Whoa.
Yes.
No, that's not yours. That's not yours. That was a supplemental one. You didn't get it. That was a supplemental
outrageous.
That I hammed up the US.
Because the American interview said that, interviewed him when he moved to the US and said that. That's what I said.
Remember, he scored the greatest goal in the history of the Premier League.
According to the internet.
Fair enough.
I won one.
Thank you for your
email,
lady.
Jim, let's have an email.
Let's. Hello, Ramblers.
Hello.
I was listening to your Kevin Keegan profile earlier and have one addendum about the great man. He is single-handedly responsible for the Kevin Scourge, meaning the wave of male newborns named Kevin in Hamburg and environs during and after his time with HSV. The trend spread to the rest of Germany over the course of the 80s until it was the most popular first name for boys in 1991. It has since fallen out of favour with most of the population to the point where a whole slew of jokes along the lines of Kevin is not a name, it's a diagnosis exist. Poor old Keegan. And that is from Bettina Corte.
That's a great little fact. Yeah. I was just trying to think of any players that have come around now in Germany called Kevin, but I couldn't think of any.
Prince Barrett.
Karanya.
Brother.
Yeah. Kevin Karanya, yeah.
A bit old.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Interesting though.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. This week's profile is again in association with kitbag.com. And we've got one of those AC Milan players. It's Alessandro Nesta.
Hey.
Oh, beautiful.
Legend.
How about that? Born on the 19th of March, 1976.
9 years after the summer of love.
After that summer. Indeed, he looks set to leave Serie A, but he will go down as, damn it all, one of Italy's greatest defenders.
Nesta and Maldini in the Dean Wendt Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Solid. Oof.
Yeah.
Well, and Baresi and Shirea.
They can guard the safe because no one's getting past that.
It's like the 2003 Champions League all over again. Nesta and Maldini there together.
I mean, is that safe to say one of Italy's best defenders?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
I mean, cause and I think they've had a lot.
I think he's a little in the shadow of Maldini as well, purely because Maldini was such a legend and such a one club man. But Nesta's, in his time there, was as important.
Who'd win a handsome off?
Oh,
definitely Maldini. But what I would say is that he is one of the most accomplished and controlled slide tacklers of the ball.
It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it? Because
he spent most of his time. Remember when
he said one of?
A little while ago when he took out Messi. And Messi couldn't believe it. And he was slamming his hands on the floor going, What is happening?
People
here?
Don't do this to me.
This didn't used to happen. I think that's when he knew, wasn't it?
That's it. He is from the capital of Italy, which is Rome. And was originally scouted by Rome at a very young age, of course, of nine, with the youth teams and whatnot. But his father is a Lazio fan. And he turned down Rome's offer. He's like, no.
I love that.
You're going to be playing for Lazio, son. Yeah. And my goodness, did he.
I'd rather you didn't play for anyone.
I'd rather I...
And the nine-year-old Nesta going, well, can I have a say in it?
Suppressing your talent.
Yeah. I'd rather break your legs.
Yeah. Fortunately, an offer from Lazio came and he joined their youth setup. And he played through the ranks at the club for 8 years until 1993 when he was called up for the first team. When he first started playing for Lazio, they were one of the top teams in Italy, boasting the names like Di Matteo, Boxic, Signori, and Gascoigne.
And didn't he break Gascoigne's leg? Is that him?
Involved in the incident.
Yeah, that's when he first came to sort of prominence, wasn't it?
It was. I don't know. I've not seen the incident.
Well, it was a training ground incident, wasn't it?
It was a training ground incident, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Nesta was involved.
It was definitely involved,
right,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because my memories of that time are so hazy. I always think that when Gazza was recovering from that broken leg, he wore a face mask and sprayed it.
That was, yes.
And a pair of comedy fake breasts.
The speaking like the Swedish chef in The Muppet.
Yeah.
With Chris Evans.
constantly by his side. Nesta was showing early signs of becoming an excellent player. And in 1996, he went to the European Under-21 Championships with Italy, along with other people that would turn out to be marvellous players as well. Buffon, Cannavaro, Panucci, Totti.
Yeah.
No? And they won the tournament.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I'm surprised. Yeah. They're beating England. They're beating the Fulls.
That's right, yeah. And, he did go to Euro 96 but didn't feature. I mean, even in that back line, you Buffon in goal, Cannavaro and Nesta at the back and Panucci in there as well.
Great stuff, isn't it?
Not bad, is it? He would feature at World Cup 98 playing in Italy's group games, but he got injured and didn't play in the knockouts, which would be a recurring theme for Nesta at World Cups.
He'd always get injured in
the
end.
Yeah. The one thing that's held... that stopped him becoming like an undisputed great all-time great, you know, is the injury problem.
Yeah, But back at Lazio, he had become club captain. That was in 97 at the age of 21, and was very much enjoying life in Serie A.
This is the great Lazio sort of Craniotti era.
They had I mean, you know, Mancini, Vieri, Crespo, Veron, just the name.
Sven
knew what he was doing.
Sven was just rolling around in his pants,
in his lira,
in piles of lira, just going, "Yeah, bring me Veron."
And they won the league. Yeah. They won the league sensationally.
Well, Craniotti is. I mean, you've got to be careful dancing around the legal issue, but Craniotti's in a lot of legal trouble at the moment.
Yeah, I think he danced well.
His Cereo Foods empire might come all crashing down around him. But they were chucking money at everyone then, weren't
they? But they did win some trophies and silverware. You know, they won the Cup Winners' Cup. I think the last ever won. At Villa Park.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah.
They won the league as well in 2000.
Scored, didn't
they?
Nedved scored.
He did, yeah. Vieri and Nedved scored in the final. yesterday. Mm. The Coppa Italia, they also won as well. He scored the winner against Milan in the final, funnily enough. He was now one of the best defenders in Italy and...
therefore the world.
Therefore the world. Well, he was voted best defender in Italy in 2000, 01, 02, 03. Just, and then he sort of, well, someone else's turn.
Do you reckon he just rung up and said, "I don't want to be considered for this anymore"? It's getting embarrassing.
Well, the first time perhaps most of us really saw him was at Euro 2000 when Italy was so close to winning the championships. They were brilliant in that tournament, often deployed in a back three, always part in for Italy. He was always partnered with Cannavaro.
Yeah.
Juliano, do you remember Juliano?
Yeah,
sort of curly
Mark Juliano,
Maldini back there, Zambrotta providing.
Juliano played for Juventus, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, I think. Yeah.
Zambrotta, Maldini, Cannavaro, and him. Jesus, Nesta Buffon behind you.
Nesta and Cannavaro, for me, a beautiful set about partnership.
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
Clean shorts.
Yeah, big time. Because Cannavaro is very small as well, whereas Nesta's a bit taller. It's just a lovely little complimentary combo.
Are they
out and wouldn't have had a chance.
they were as I say, they were brilliant in that tournament, and one of the best typical Italian displays in recent memory for me was against Holland in the semis. Now Holland were one of the favourites. It was them and France. It was standard. They were making the final. They were the two standout teams, and Holland were at home, of course, and they played Italy in the semis. And Zambrotta was sent off only after about half an hour. And it was Nesta that gave away a penalty as well, but Toldo, who was imperious in that tournament, when he came in, I think, for an injury to Buffon, or was it Peruzzi, would it have been back then? But anyway, certainly Toldo came in and he saved it, and then a magnificent display, defensive display ensued, and Nesta...
It was like Italy decided, when they got their first sent off, they just looked around and went, right... 0-0 then.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be
0-0. Yeah, that's it.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
And then Holland
it was
actually
executed perfectly. It's a masterclass.
Well, Holland actually missed another penalty.
Yeah.
I think Kluivert hit the post. And then, of course, they were edged out by France in the final. But back in Serie A, of course, as I say, he was getting all the awards and whatnot. And then Lazio fell into financial trouble and were forced to sell off some of their big players, and he was one of them. And the Lazio fans gave him a lot of unfair criticism for that, for moving to Milan in 2002, because they saw their captain and hero moving to one of their big rivals. And it wasn't Nesta's choice, it has to be stressed. He didn't want to leave the club. But Lazio, they're offered €31 million for him, and they needed the money. And actually, Nesta didn't know too much about that, because he said he remembered arriving. He was at training, and all the players were called in and said, "Right, we need to get rid of some of you." He was handed the phone and basically told, "Accept this decision. It's the club needs to." And he just had to say yes to Milan, you know.
How do personal terms work in that sort of situation? You've got to accept this, or you are screwing your club.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Well, he said I was handed the phone and told that I should agree to the transfer because Lazio needed money. I was given no time to get my things, and I ran to catch the plane to Milan. That's crazy, isn't it?
That is.
I mean, I remember when...
Get a cab.
Yeah. Well, I remember when David Luiz went to Chelsea, you know, it was a similar thing. He was on the training
David
ground.
David Lowell's.
Yeah, he went to the training ground 1 minute and then he was off to London, you know. Incredible.
Paul Lynch told a story about when he went to Inter, apparently he was on the golf course with Ryan Giggs and he got a phone call from Alex Ferguson. He's like, that's weird, he doesn't normally ring me. Just said, we've accepted an offer for Inter. They're coming around your house, so get yourself back there. And he sat in the kitchen with representatives from Inter and it was just done.
It's crazy. It's extraordinary,
I mean, especially if you're moving to another country, basically being made to just change your lifestyle so massively.
Yeah.
Well, Ince
and
says,
you're Paul Ince.
Well, Ince says after that, Ince, I don't know how true it is, but Ince says after that that actually when he got used to the idea of going to Italy, he's really looking forward to it. And he's often said that he really enjoyed his time in Italy.
Yeah.
But he said before he had done a deal and signed it, Ferguson actually rang him back and said, like, we've changed our mind.
Oh my
god. And
Ince
said, no, I'm doing it now. I'm not changing my come back on it. Yeah. So and that's why he actually went through.
Because I'm the boss.
Well, he got slagged off for big time Charlie as well, but
a lot of time with players, I mean, obviously they're very well looked after and they get paid well and they get the best care and this sort of thing. But a lot of time you could probably feel like you're a bit of a piece of meat being pushed around.
Trafficked almost, you know.
Yeah, especially before the boss. Yeah,
and
stuff, you know.
Yeah, indeed. Well, he remembered arriving there because they had a kind of presentation of him at the club, and he said at one point I turned around to see Hernan Crespo. They'd sold him to Inter. You know, the former teammate. What are you doing here? Oh, right, we're rivals now. Blimey. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely incredible. But being the professional he is, he got on with things at Milan and had a fantastic time there too. His first season, they won the Champions League, beating Juventus in the final.
Scored his pen, didn't
in
he?
Manchester.
As well.
He scored his pen. Him and Maldini at the back were superb.
Yeah, just like him. Of the turnaround going, right, why don't we slide, Eth?
The season they won the Champions League in 2003, that the best result they had that I can remember was they beat Deportivo 4-0 at Deportivo, and Maldini and Nesta play centre-back together. Dreams. Clean sheet Arama.
Well, that's it. I mean, he was...
Clean sheets were their business.
But he was from that cut of incredible, like, world-class Italian defender, like your Bareses.
Chiselled from Italian marble.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And defensive marble.
As an honourable mensch, because he's on his way as well, that game, Super Pippo scored a hat-trick.
Mm. Was that right?
Yeah.
But he was almost one of those players, Nesta, where you were as pleased to see him on the team sheet as you would, Seedorf or Baggio or one of these sort of players. Yeah. You think, oh, brilliant, he's playing, you know. And like we were saying earlier, you know, very seldom does he resort to sort of your last gasp tackles, but when he does, you know, he certainly makes sure.
Yeah.
And he was back at the Champions League final again against Liverpool in 2005, where he was on the losing team, but they got their revenge in 2007. Him and Maldini again at the back were superb. 2006 World Cup, he partnered Cannavaro yet again in the centre of defence.
Remember, 2-0 against Ghana. Brilliant game.
And then he got injured in the group stages and didn't feature in any of the knockout stages, which happened in 98 and 2002, which we missed out.
I remember him playing against Ghana, they won. They drew against the US, and he got injured early on, didn't he, in the last
Czech Republic.
Game against Czech Republic.
He missed out against Korea in
2002.
Yeah.
He always got injured at World Cups.
It's such a shame. Materazzi
they were fine in that Korea game.
Yeah, that's right.
The Matrix came in 2006, though. We all know what happened after that.
Game World Champions, Jim.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I remember.
Despite offers for him to go to, from the managers to go to Euro 8 and World Cup 2010, he quit international football due to injuries. Amassed 77 caps for Italy. And then Milan, he just went on to win lots of other things. World Club Champions in 2007, scored in the final against Boca Juniors. But the last few years of his time at Milan were dogged with injuries, it's a shame to say, although he did make big contributions to their season. In 2009, when Maldini retired, he was offered the captain's armband, but he turned it down because he promised the Lazio fans he would never captain another side.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I can remember him getting injured quite late on a couple of years ago with a back injury, and everyone thought he was finished.
Yeah, back injuries were a real
plague. And he came back. He's actually played a reasonable amount of times this season.
Yeah, he's done okay, but his time had finished, I think. You know, and he knew that, of course. But 2010, 2011, him and Thiago Silva at the back. Yeah, great partnership.
Well, they've got him, Silva, Yepes, and Mexes. Silva's different class. Yeah, he's playing alongside. Silver. Tell you what, the athleticism and defensive mindedness of a young youngish Thiago Silva next to the old head of Nesta, that's brilliant.
Mm. Yeah, that's
like master and apprentice. That.
Well, they won the league in 2010-2011. I mean, very close this season. Very close indeed.
It almost, you know, with Nesta and Maldini, almost because you know you had Baresi and Maldini, and you know Maldini would have learned so much of Baresi. You wonder if it's kind of the same with Nesta and Maldini as well. I know the age difference not as dramatic.
Passing the baton down.
It's certainly there's like a relay effect. You can probably trace amazing defenders.
Trace it all the way back.
And of course he's now finished playing with Milan. It was only a month or two ago that Andrea Pirlo was trying to talk Nesta into coming to Juventus.
Cool.
I mean, that's how highly rated he still is.
Yeah.
But he said, look, come on,
enough's enough.
Stop being silly.
Yeah, exactly.
My back hurts.
Exactly. And the final words we'll leave to Milan director Umberto Gandini, who tweeted, Nesta leaves AC Milan after 10 years of successful and brilliant service. What a person, what a player. And in he comes, the Team Windows Hall of Fame.
240 characters well used.
Take note, Barton. And as Mark is at the top of the profile, the Dean Windows Hall of Fame at the moment is sponsored by kitbag.com. So get yourself over to kitbag.com for all your football shirt needs. And if you follow them on Twitter and RT tweets about it, you've got a chance to win a £50 voucher towards a shirt of your choice just in time for the Euro. So get yourself over there.
Well, there it is, kids. That's the end of the Football Ramble. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yes, it is. And this week on the website, James Appel looks at the downward spiral of Dini Arbilia-Letdinov's career, and Davide Coran hopes at the swashbuckling style of Juventus herald some evolution in Serie A. And this week we are giving away a free downloadable girlfriend. As well as all this, there's the Hall of Fame, the shop and the forum, so just go there now. And you know, while we're here as well, if you are going to the Edinburgh Festival this year, which you probably should be, you can see my show. Tickets are now on sale. That is underbelly.co.uk and search my name when you get there. I'm also doing a free preview in London on the 22nd of May at the Queen's Head in Piccadilly Circus, 7:30, myself and Naz Osmanli, who is brilliant. Come down.
Worth it. I've seen it.
I went in the Underbelly.
Did you?
Last week. Popped it with a knife. Oh.
So we're going to need that.
Right, we're going to go. This is what we're going to do. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Laters.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, Baz. Baff, boff, boff, baff, boffles, Bobby Banter, bop, bat. I'm not doing this anymore.
I've never seen a team melt like this yet. They've completely run out of ideas. You're talking world-class footballers here running out of complete and utter ideas. Mancini is going absolutely mental.
Football. No!
Oh! No! No, he's missed!
Goodness!
No!
Paddy Kenny, hero of the day, what a game. What a
Oh, what a save, Paddy Kenny! Yeah, in the same position against Silva, wins it in. Header! Go! Oh! It's 2-1! Hazeko! And they run back to the halfway line trip! There's got to be 5 minutes of injury time, and it's 2-2!
Manchester United are seconds away from the title, their 20th title, their sixth in seven seasons. Wayne Rooney got the
underdog
in
his 34th back.
You know what's happened? Incredible!
It's 3-2! Oh my God! We should have never seen anything like it. It's gone on mad! It's gone mad! Mancini's on the field!
Oh my God!
What an animal cutting each other! They got love bites and everything! Oh my God, what a goal by Aguero, Jeff. He gets the ball, he's so cool. Oh, they're all cuddling each other. Jeff, I played in the League Championship with drama. Nothing like this. It's unbelievable. 3-2.
Clapperino.
Flapperino.
Clapperino.
Flapperino.
All the cool kids call the clap.
Jimmy. Do you want to fight me? Hand to hand. Do you want to fight me? Now's your chance.
My friend had a pet, had a racing snail, and he wanted to go faster, so he removed its shell, but it didn't work. If anything, it just made it more sluggish.
Absolute shite.
Yeah, I wouldn't open with that.
What's your favourite colour? Mine's probably, I reckon mine is misty buff.
Good.
Pterodactyl.
Brioche.
Finished top half, you reckon? And we're going to win the Carling Cup, you reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
Mate, 20 quid.
He's as good as, John Terry.
Yeah.
He runs the joint. Right, I said, get him up to the senior. If you don't like him, no problem. I fucking like him. send them out to see the training centre tomorrow. So then I said to Sam, I've got a player for you. And he went, what is he like? I went, he's better than John Terry at his age. And he went, fuck off. That's what Sam said. I went,
what's your relationship now? Like,
I spoke to him because he's milling me, so fuck him.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.